We got to get to the end. We have to get to the national tournament. Are you listening, NCAA? Are you listening? Because these are young people that aspire to things. And they're in an age demographic that it's not as risky. It's always risky. It's risky when I drive from here to the arena. I might get sideswiped by a CAM bus. All right, because I'm not looking. And we got to get to the end this year. And then we got to get to Tokyo. And I'm passionate about that. It cannot go down the way it went down a year ago.
Tom Brands was a little fired up this week, you guys, and to be quite honest, I don't really blame him. He and Iowa wrestler Spencer Lee held a press conference on Tuesday to discuss the upcoming 2021 season and for Spencer Lee to formally receive the 2020 Hodge Trophy. Spencer and Tom both took questions and touched on a number of topics, and we have those interviews here for you today on a Hawkeye Heavy podcast. Tom brought the passion, Spencer did a little bit too, and they both offered plenty of insight into how top-ranked Iowa is approaching the upcoming season. So, hey, what's up? Hello, everybody, and welcome to In the Room, a wrestling podcast from the Des Moines Register. I'm Cody Goodwin, the Register's wrestling writer, and I am glad you're here. Happy Wednesday, January 6th, our second of what's ultimately going to be three podcasts this week, which is pretty cool. Got another one coming for you on Friday that's going to look at the Northern Iowa Panthers, but today we're all about Iowa, and the Hawkeyes begin their season, ranked number one by virtually every poll, and they're going to start competition next week against number five Nebraska in Iowa City. You guys can expect a lot of firepower from the Hawkeyes this season, much like how they operated a year ago when they went 13-0 in duels and they won the Big Ten tournament going away. Spencer Lee was one of three Big Ten champs, and then he also became the third Hawkeye wrestler ever to win the prestigious Hodge Trophy, joining Brent Metcalf, who won it in 2008, and Mark Ironside, who won it in 1998. Entering 2021, to be quite honest, I'm still not used to saying that, Iowa returns nine starters from last year's lineup, losing only Pat Lugo, who also won a Big Ten title, but 149 pounds. He graduated, but is being replaced in a way by Missouri transfer Jaden Ironman. Ironman, three-time All-American for the Tigers before transferring to the Hawkeyes. He's going to slot in at 141, and Max Murin, who started at 41 for the last couple of years, is planning to bump up to 149. So from start to finish, you're looking at this lineup. Spencer Lee at 125, Austin DeSanto at 33, Jaden Ironman at 41, Max Murin at 49, Caleb Young at 57, Alex Marinelli at 65, Michael Kemmer at 174, Abe Assad maybe at 184, Jacob Warner at 97, and then Tony Cassiope at 285. Now, these aren't set in stone. You heard me say the maybe, and you're going to hear it from Tom Brands as well. You've got Abe Assad and Nelson Brands in maybe a little bit of a lineup battle to start with at 184 pounds. We could also see some other guys take the mat if maybe these guys don't perform, if they get injured, if they just need a reprieve. Just various reasons why we might see some other guys throughout the season, even though it's a short one. But this is, by virtually every poll, the best team in the country once again. They proved that last year with their results, and they are expected to create similar results this season. We touched on the schedule earlier this week. It's conference only, but we are talking about the Big Ten, and eight of their nine duels are against teams that are currently ranked in track wrestling's top 25. They see all the heavy hitters this year. Number 2, Michigan. Number 3, Penn State. Number 7, Ohio State. Number 12, Northwestern. Number 13, Minnesota, among a few others. There's going to be plenty of battles to test these Hawkeyes before they get to the Big Ten and NCAA championships. It's going to be something of a sprint. It's going to be really weird, right? Just January, just February, and then boom, once March hits, we're looking at the postseason. It's going to be weird, much like how most of 2020 went and how the first week or so of 2021 has felt. But the Hawkeyes are determined. Tom talked plenty about, quote, unfinished business, which leads us to this week's press conference, where Tom took questions about the upcoming season, talked about Spencer Lee winning the Hodge, the Big Ten and the NCAA championships, also the Big Ten conference and the NCAA as a governing body. He brought the fire. He brought the passion. Per usual, you heard it at the top of the podcast. You're about to get a ton more of it now, because I think you guys are going to enjoy his comments. So I'll quit blabbering and we'll get to Iowa wrestling coach Tom Brands, and I hope you guys enjoy.
All right, thanks. Fans are going to be relying on the media because there aren't going to be fans in the arena. So you guys got a big job to do, singing the message of Iowa Hawkeye Wrestling. So that's my introduction. Another introduction, Terry Brands is here. Larry Lee is here. And really the real show is a little bit of the past, the recent past, honoring Spencer Lee for that Hodge Trophy. And we got Brian and Mike Chapman here, Brian Van Clay and Mike Chapman here from, they're the genesis of that. So, and I'll introduce them when we're done. Fire away. Let's get this show on the road.
Yeah. Tom, obviously normally wrestlers have 20, 30 matches going into a national tournament. This year they'll have as many as maybe 10 or 11. Is there a number that athletes need to have to compete at the highest level?
I think that you train your body and your mind and your spirit to the point where nothing really matters. Things happen that upset the apple cart. And you could have a regular season that's normal and only end up with, you could just wrestle in the qualifier, for instance, and have to go to the national tournament. So you take it and you do the best you can with it. And when you have an edge, you'll be okay.
Tom, outside of the national championship, you guys have all the pieces back from a year ago except for one. How do you improve or surpass what the team was able to accomplish a year ago?
You get to the end, and that would have been in my introduction, but I was saving it for my segue into introducing the Hodge Trophy. But the bottom line is, you go out there and you do your job. You do your job. So, you got a follow-up?
Well, in addition to that, Jaden Ironman, is that new piece. How does he kind of fit in to the lineup and the puzzle for this year?
I mean, here's the thing. You have to get to the end. We have new pieces. We have new pieces that are old faces. And you could argue that Spencer Lee is better than he's ever been. And that's a scary thing. He has to go out and prove that and show that off. So that's probably the first thing. You talk about the new faces like Ironman, absolutely, but you don't forget about Happel. Mirren's moving up to 149. I think he was listed at 41. You get into the specifics of the lineup, but really we got to get to the end. We have to get to the national tournament. Are you listening, NCAA? Are you listening? Because these are young people that aspire to things. And they're in an age demographic that it's not as risky. It's always risky. It's risky when I drive from here to the arena. I might get sideswiped by a CAM bus. All right, because I'm not looking. And we got to get to the end this year. And then we got to get to Tokyo. And I'm passionate about that. It cannot go down the way it went down a year ago. So here we are in January. We're starting. We thank the Big Ten. We got a schedule, and away we go. And we do it every day. We're diligent. We do it every day. Every one of those guys in that Hawkeye wrestling room, they do it right. They wear their mask. They screen in. They're doing daily testing now. Before that, they were doing weekly testing. Even if they have a negative test and they don't feel right, they have a cough or a throat issue, they stay away. So they're doing it right. We got to get to the end.
Tom, USA Wrestling has sponsored a lot of events and they had a lot of success. Did wrestling learn anything from their events? Because I know there's been a couple college duels that canceled because of COVID, but otherwise wrestling has done well. What have you guys learned from what their events were?
Wrestling's done well. It started with the rooftop thing in Chicago. Good job. Awesome. And that kind of started it. And then you had a flow event maybe or whatever. We had our own event. USA Wrestling put on a big event. and we had fans. And it was right here in the Mecca of wrestling in the United States. It wasn't anywhere but Iowa. And it wasn't anywhere except Coralville, Iowa. And there's a lot of good people, starting with our administration and then going to Josh Schamberger and our own program. They're advocates for getting this thing going and keeping it going and keeping it going the right way. They're advocates for that.
But a lot of people outside of wrestling were concerned because it's such a man-to-man sport. It would be the one to be the hardest to get going. But why has wrestling done so well?
Wrestling, you first of all sterilize yourself when you take a shower. We've been dealing with this forever. We've been dealing with skin issues or whatever, without getting into details. You sterilize the mats on a daily basis, more than one time a day if you're on the mat more than one time a day. We've been doing that before the pandemic. Wrestling is way ahead. Wrestling is a one-on-one sport with a referee. It's not 5-on-5 or 11-on-11. And, you know, and here's the thing, to compare us to other sports, silliness. Silliness. To compare other sports to other sports, silliness. Wrestling has a lot of experience of being very, very clean.
How much did not getting to the end motivate this team this year?
I think that our guys think of these things as individuals. That's one of the greatest things that we have. We have a great group that's tight. They're together. We've had to be together as a country, as a world, through this pandemic. And our guys have come together as well through that. They dealt with it in their own ways. And when that message came down, they handled it. And they've been handling it ever since. We got in that wrestling room on June 8th. These guys weren't in that wrestling room until June 8th. Our administration, we were front line. We were a trial program along with maybe a hospital program, one other sport, and, you know, maybe somewhere else on campus. So there were three or four entities on campus that were the front line trial. Wrestling was one of them because of the discipline of wrestlers, because of how wrestlers handle adversity. Maybe because of how our team handled adversity and the leadership that we had. And back then it was Lugo, Marinelli, and Lee and company. And then all of a sudden it became Lugo, Marinelli, and Lee because Lugo won a Big Ten championship. Kemmerer, and because Lugo won a Big Ten championship, Lugo graduates. Now we got Lee, Marinelli, Kemmerer, Cassiope, DeSanto, Mirren, Ironman, and you see guys making progress, and like Nelson Brands, Abe Assad, they're going to be head-to-head again. There's great things going on. And there's great things going on because of how they handle themselves on a daily basis through whatever. To us, it's not even to me. To us, the battles on a daily basis, your awareness and your energy doesn't rise because all of a sudden now there's a pandemic in your life. It's the same. It's the same battle. It's steady. It's steady. We're going to be okay. But you got to get us to the end. We did it your way. Now you got to come our way. These are young people. And we know this is serious business. And we do it right.
Tom, the Big Ten was one of the last conferences to announce a schedule. Were you ever concerned that it wasn't going to happen?
I mean, you have faith in your leadership. And so, like, my daily conversations with my bosses, Barbara Burke and Gary Barda, the schedule will come when the schedule comes. They weren't controlling that. And the biggest thing that I could tell them was that our frustration isn't with you. You know, our frustration is with, you know, the Big Ten is the leader in sports, let alone wrestling, but it's definitely the leader in wrestling. And yet, you know, these other conferences have taken the lead. That's what was frustrating. Not because we didn't think that we weren't going to get a schedule or compete, but because the propaganda is used against us. And you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And It's hard when you, when the propaganda is going against you and they can say, oh, Iowa's ducking institution X and institution Y. Well, we have a policy that we can't wrestle anybody outside the Big Ten until the national tournament. So how are we ducking you? Well, that narrative was put out there by the ninnies of the world in the sport of wrestling, and it hurt the Big Ten. It hurt the Big Ten. That's my competitive edge coming out. And that's where the frustration was. It wasn't with the Big Ten or the Big Ten leadership. This is real. This COVID is real. They're figuring it out every day. It's changing. And oh, by the way, our critical incident management team, led by, you know, the leader of that, name slips me, but Andy Peterson is our team doctor, and he's front line. So he's front line. And these are very, very smart people that are patient with us. So we got the best of all worlds. We got smart people working for us. We got great administration that understands that, hey, we understand that the propaganda is being used against you. And so they're working too. So we got a lot of good things going on where it's collective.
Coach, can you comment on Spencer's dominance last season and what a Hodge winner does for a particular program?
The Hodge Trophy is in, there's no controversy on who the Hodge Trophy winner was in 2020. That shows the dominance. In other years, there's been some, maybe where somebody feels like they got left out. And even with a guy like Kyle Snyder winning it 1 year, if my history's right, my memory's right, there was still another guy that maybe, you know, whatever. And this one, without a doubt, and Chris Brewer has the stats. So, Brewer, you want to put them in my ear right here? What was the points?
Like, what? 51 and a 56 first place vote.
Okay, but now forget about that. I'm talking about the points. Like the...
Yeah, I scored as a point. It was like 286 to 18.
286 to 18. In points scored. And then, and I'm going to say it again. And I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to call out the media again. Because then there was a published article, and maybe this is to keep an edge and keep putting an edge on Spencer and the rest of our guys, who really, the rest of our guys, first thing, the rest of our guys should be competing against Spencer in a healthy teammate way to go get that Hodge for themselves. Cameron Marinelli, DeSanto, Cassiope, Mirren, Young, Nelson, Saad, Warner, so on and so forth. Ironman. And then the other thing is that Flow Wrestling, then they publish an article that knocks Spencer because he scored X amount of points in the first period and he only scored X amount of points in the second and third period. They didn't get out of the first period. The match never made it out of the first period. How do you score points in the second and third period? I love it. I love it.
So, Tom, in these duels, will there be extra matches like some of these other teams are doing, give your non-starters a chance also to compete?
There are extra matches that are permissible this year that are countable. There will be wrestled in the same format as the rules of a 7-minute college match. There's a couple differences, but yes, we can have extra matches. And that's important because we have a freshman class that is high-powered. We have Brett Lee Reyna and Jesse Ibarra and Colin Schriever and Patrick Kennedy and Schroeder and Gabe Christensen. So those guys will be getting matches as well.
I like that Tom brought up the idea of wrestling being uniquely suited to handle a pandemic, because these were actually some of my first thoughts back in May and June when we were still trying to figure out if the Cadet and Junior National Championships might happen in Fargo. I thought there was a way for wrestling to pull it off, and they ultimately pulled the plug on Fargo, but USA Wrestling has actually done a pretty fine job bringing wrestling back even with the pandemic still swirling. The U.S. Senior National Championships came to Coralville. You had U-23s and juniors in Omaha. There's been plenty of other sanctioned wrestling events all over the country, and there's actually been plenty of states that are, you know, they're in the midst of their high school seasons right now, including Iowa. I also like that Tom shared his frustrations with the Big Ten Conference, because he's kind of like the rest of us, right? We were all pretty mad at the league for not only delaying the schedule release, but also kind of limiting what teams could do, you know, not allowing non-conference opponents, right? So his sound off on that was kind of nice to hear, you know, to know that we are not alone and the coaches were kind of feeling that pinch as well. But also right there at the end, super cool that the Big Ten is going to allow some extra matches at these duels so that we can see some other guys get some mat time throughout the season. I know Tom and his staff are super pumped about the current crop of true freshmen, and they're getting kind of screwed from a developmental standpoint by not getting the normal run of tournaments and competitions that they would get in maybe a non-COVID year, you know, like the various opens, like the UNI Open, Lindenwood, Grandview. I know they always take a group of guys to the Midlands Championships every year. None of that's going to happen, right? But at least they're going to get something in the form of, you know, mat time and competition, and you know, they're going to have something to look forward to this season. Always good stuff from Tom. Hope you guys enjoyed that. We're now going to turn our attention to Spencer Lee, Iowa's two-time NCAA champ and the reigning Hodge Trophy winner. Spencer won the Hodge by a wide margin. You guys probably know it by now, garnering 52 of the 57 first-place votes after he went 18-0 last season with 17 bonus point wins. That's a 94% bonus rate, and that's the best since Cale Sanderson produced a 95% bonus rate in 2002 when he was at Iowa State. Spencer answered a few questions afterwards, not nearly as long as Tom. He touched on, you know, what the last 9 months have been like for him, for the team, you know, kind of his history with Dan Hodge and the Hodge Trophy, and actually shared a neat little story about him and Iowa President Bruce Harreld, or I guess outgoing President Bruce Harreld. Always enjoy hearing from Spencer, and I know he's amped to get to wrestle again here soon. All of the same goals he held last year are still in front of him this year, and he talked about that as well. So let's get to it now. Iowa Spencer Lee, the reigning Hodge Trophy winner. He spoke earlier this week. I hope you guys enjoy.
Hello. Well, I'm honored, so take any questions, and you know, I'm third. I don't know. That's crazy to me.
I have a question.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Are you going to try to win it again next year?
Absolutely. How many multiple timers are there? Three?
Four.
Four? My bad. My history's wrong.
Spencer, you could hear Tom Brand's passion and what happened into the last year to now. Could you match his passion and talk about what the past, 300 days have been like for you as a wrestler?
Well, it's been hard, but as a team, we've come together, and we know that this is a big year for us. You know, we, like you keep saying, unfinished business, and we got guys who have, you know, we have two little chips on their shoulders. I mean, we had a great season last year, but as you all know, the NCAA tournament is the pinnacle of wrestling, and you don't really feel like your season's finished unless you win that. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that I didn't deserve the Hodge Trophy, but I mean, I'm also the only one that's ever won the Hodge that didn't win a national title, if you think about that, right? So, I mean, I'm hoping to, you know, win it next year and win a national title and, you know, earn it this time in my mind. Not to say I didn't deserve it or whatnot, but in my head it's iffy because, you know, I might be the last one in Dan Hodge's name, but, you know, I wish I could have won it next year and shook his hand. Maybe he might have broke my hand, you know, but he's pretty strong, right? But and he actually plays a big part in my life too, Dan Hodge. I mean, we have pictures of me when I was like 8 years old, you know, Tulsa tournaments, kickoff classic and stuff. So really wish I could have seen him again. And he signed a Sports Illustrated for me probably like 4 months ago. So that was really cool. But yeah, we're excited this year. We're getting ready and we're going to put on a show. So be ready for it.
How are you going to balance your personal goals with the Iowa Hawkeyes with that of your country this summer?
Well, nothing changes. What's next is the biggest thing. So what next for me right now is, you know, we got Nebraska on the 15th, and that's what's next. And then I'm going to do my best every time out, just like my teammates. And ultimately, my goal is to be an Olympic champion. But first off, I have to, you know, win a lot of matches before that is even possible. And then, you know, NCAAs and then Olympic trials. And if I win Olympic trials, then in August, Olympics in Tokyo. And that's one by one. You can't, you know, you can't skip. You can't take the easy way out. So got to take it the nice, easy, hard way and work your butt off and go out and put on a show. So.
Growing up, you were being recruited. Was this something you envisioned for yourself, winning this trophy, and now that it's actually come to fruition and you're holding it up outside of everyone wearing masks? Is it expected a couple years ago?
I mean, I never really thought about winning the Hodge Trophy. I pretty much only cared about winning four national titles. So that was kind of like the only thing I cared about. I mean, I knew it was a possibility to win when my freshman year, I think I had two techs, two pins, and I won 5-0 in the finals, or 5-1, I think it was actually. So, I mean, I was pretty close to getting the OW that year as well as a true freshman. So, I mean, I knew there was a possibility. I mean, I had losses in my record, though, so I wasn't even able to be up for the Hodge Trophy. I had two losses that year. So, I mean, you got to go undefeated. Like I said, it's pretty hard to do. Got to be ready, be at your best each time out. So, but yeah, I mean, I saw that I was able to do it, and it was an honor just to be nominated, and I'm humbled to have won. So,
you wrestled a long time. Kind of a similar question, but when did you first realize what the Hodge Trophy was all about, and who were some of those winners you might have emulated growing up?
I mean, obviously, Cale Sanderson is. I mean, I think, did he win it three times? Crazy, man. he probably could have won it four, too, to be honest. But, which would have been, you know, obviously, I don't think any of us would ever have done that. But, yeah, I mean, him and, you know, obviously Dan Gable and Ironside, you know, the other Hawkeyes that have won it were definitely, you know, they're idols to me. Just the way they wrestled, they were just physical and they ran people off the mat. You know, that Iowa style that, you know, Gable put instilled into, you know, his athletes and stuff. But I mean, I don't really wrestle like that, but I like to put a lot of points on the board too, so I do it a different way. But you know,
going back to your only college goal of winning those four national titles, you know, it looked for a period of time like that wasn't going to be possible. I know it's sort of old news now, but what was your feeling when you found out that you were going to have that opportunity?
I mean, I wasn't worried.
Did it break you a little bit?
I mean, I wasn't worried too bad because I believe in our administration and whatever it would have taken. I know that they would have done everything they could to have gotten me another year. I mean, I had two maybe three red shirts I could have possibly taken to, you know, and to lose a year having, you know, an Olympic red shirt and, you know, a normal red shirt and whatnot would have been pretty hard on me just because other guys took Olympic red shirts and I chose to compete for the University of Iowa and represent. You know, I want to win a national title. I promised President Bruce Harrell that I'd win him one. I know that he's retiring soon, so hopefully he doesn't retire before March 20th, so I can, you know, adhere to that promise that I made as a freshman. So, but I mean, I'm excited. I'm just glad that I got this year, and then, you know, next year we'll be worried about it when that time comes, right?
Spencer, I know you don't have a lot of fears for a lot of things. But were you ever surprised or concerned how wrestling fit in the COVID thing? And did you think this day was going to come, or were you ever afraid that this was going to be canceled at all?
I was just focused on myself and getting ready for a season. You know, where we were ready for a season, you know, in June. If they said, hey, national tournaments and, you know, whenever, right, August, get ready, we would have been ready. So we were just focused on ourselves and listening to protocol. You know, they know it's best. The University of Iowa has our best interest at heart, and we're listening to them. I mean, right now we're daily testing, and, you know, we're going to be ready to go. So I had no doubt in my mind that they would do whatever is best for us, and had we not competed, that would have been what's best for us, and we would have trusted in them. So
last season you guys had really good chemistry. How has that improved or grown since March when you guys have dealt with this together?
Yeah, I mean, we're like in a bubble, right? So we're definitely, I wouldn't say that we're closer because I don't know how you get much closer than our team is now, but we had to be around each other more because you can't really go out and do anything, really. You gotta be smart. You got to be, you know, prepared to take those, you know, I wouldn't say not those risks, but take those, I don't know. It's hard to not put yourself out there. I mean, we're pretty much going from home to practice back home. And the only time we really go out is if we want to go out to eat with her. And then we're together. You know, we're still together. It's, we know that, that's what's best for us because we don't want to take any risks to, you know, hurt our teammates. You know, it's a you know, we're a family. So one person runs out, you know, it's not like he's, you know, off-casted or outcasted, right? He affects everyone. So they, everyone knows their place and their part. And that's to, you know, be do the best they can, work as hard as they can to make sure everyone stays healthy and keeping everyone healthy, so.
Any other questions for Spencer?
Yeah, with the this regular season is only being Big Ten away from this season. This team is all Big Ten schedule.
Can you repeat that? Sorry.
All Big Ten schedule. What do you think?
Yeah.
All Big Ten schedule means for this team.
Well, I mean, best conference in wrestling, and we're gonna have good competition, and it's gonna be fun. I mean, it's you know, we're not gonna get, you know, the Cy-Hawk duel or the typical Oklahoma State duel that everyone looks forward to every year as well, but you know, Big Ten duels are pretty exciting, so it's gonna be fun, and we're ready to go. So doesn't matter who we're wrestling.
The comments about, I'm laughing now, I was laughing then, just about, you know, Dan Hodge potentially breaking Spencer's hand during a handshake. I was chuckling then, I'm chuckling again now just listening to it back. You know, Spencer's a wrestling nut, guys, and he's pretty well versed in the history of the sport. And so just, you know, hearing him talk about Dan Hodge and having the reverence of, you know, past Hodge winners and past great Iowa wrestlers, you know, but you could also tell that he kind of viewed the Hodge Trophy, or at least winning the Hodge Trophy, a little differently than maybe he would have if COVID-19 didn't cancel the 2020 NCAA championships. That line about being the first Hodge winner that didn't win an NCAA title is a little funny in hindsight, right? Because it literally took a worldwide pandemic to keep Spencer from winning and to keep Iowa from winning. But there's a little bit of truth to it. So I kind of understand his frustrations, and that's actually part of what I wrote about, a story up on HawkCentral.com. I encourage you guys to go read it. Yeah, there's a link to it in the show notes, just about how, you know, the 2020 Hodge Trophy is an actual physical representation of what Spencer was able to do in 2020. But it's also real tangible motivation for 2021, you know, because all the goals he had last year, you know, he was only able to achieve a certain number of them before the pandemic kind of wiped everything out, and they're still in front of him this year. And he, you know, he wants to carry that same mindset into this season, even if it's going to be a shortened one, it's going to be a weirder one, you know, but he's still able to run down all those goals as long as, you know, everything is really hunky-dory on the, you know, on the COVID side of things, and they're able to kind of navigate it the way that wrestling has found success in navigating it. So I encourage you guys to go read it. You know, the trophy, he's dang proud of that trophy. He's proud to bring it back to Iowa. He's proud to win it for himself, for his family, for the program. You know, but he also had that line about, you know, it feels like it's an unfinished season if you can't get to the NCAA championships. And so totally understand why, you know, maybe his thoughts were maybe elsewhere as opposed to just celebrating the trophy itself. But to see the trophy and the trophy presentation, I thought was actually pretty cool. You know, his father, Larry Lee, was there. Terry Brands made an appearance. Everybody was wearing a huge smile. And Mike Chapman, who's a retired Iowa sports writer, he worked at both the Iowa City Press Citizen and the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He was actually the one to formally present Spencer the trophy. Chapman, before he did that, he actually shared the story of how the Iowa wrestling dynasty under Dan Gable led in part to the founding of the Hodge Trophy, or maybe it inspired the Hodge Trophy, right? It's a pretty unique story, and it was made part of the presentation. And, you know, it was partially also inspired by the Heisman Trophy, right? Which is kind of funny because people commonly refer to the Hodge as college wrestling's Heisman Trophy. It's also kind of funny because the actual Heisman Trophy was presented a few hours later to Alabama receiver Devonta Smith. Coincidence that Spencer formally received his Hodge on the same day? I doubt it. But Chapman, after all these years, still a tremendous storyteller. And, you know, I have the audio of the Hodge Trophy presentation here as the last part of today's show. And, you know, Chapman does a great job of telling that story, of formally presenting Spencer Lee the Hodge Trophy. You know, Tom Brand starts and then it transitions into Mike, and you'll hear the cameras click once Spencer picks it up. So let's go to that now, the 2020 Hodge Trophy presentation from earlier this week. We'll be right back.
Okay, first of all, Mike Chapman, known him a long time, and nobody better when it comes to, first of all, being a great friend, but nobody better when it comes to a very healthy, fanatical mind for competition. And it doesn't matter what that competition is. And he's written books about football players. He's written books about fighters, Bruce Lee. He's written biographies on all different of the best. People who had to break race barriers. And he grew up in Waterloo, which is a notoriously good, great wrestling community. And he grew up in that era when Dan Gable was coming through, but it wasn't just Gable. And it was Buzzards. And the names that maybe Gable cut his teeth on. And so this guy's got a lot of perspective, and I have a lot of respect for him, my brother and I, if I can speak for Terry. So that's my introduction for Mike Chapman. And then Brian Van Clay with Wind Magazine. Mike Chapman is the genesis of the Dan Hodge Trophy. He's the genesis of Wind Magazine and the Wind Museum, which is now the Dan Gable Museum. And all those are still very successful. And there's no more sought-after award in college wrestling than the Hodge Trophy. Because you know what? National tournament OWs have losses on their record. Hodge Trophy winners, with rare, rare exception, do not. If you get a loss, it pretty much erases your... You have to be on every time. And so I told our team that the Hodge Trophy is legitimized once again in 2020. Thank you, Spencer Lee. I thanked him in front of our team. And we got unfinished business. So let's finish this business. And let's honor the 2020 Hodge Trophy winner and bring up Brian Van Clay from Wind Magazine and Mike Chapman, the genesis of the Dan Hodge Trophy. Thank you.
Yep. I hate following Tom Brands. Every time he talks, I just want to go work out. For those of you who don't know me, I've been working out for 61 years. I'm 77. I lift weights or get on a cardio machine 6-7 days a week. I'm going to give you a little history lesson, and this is meant for Spencer. Anybody in here, was anybody in here born before 1960? You were? I saw my first wrestling meet at the University of Iowa in 1960, Spencer. Let me tell you what it was like. You came in the old field house, you walked up a flight of stairs on a Saturday afternoon. There were basketball games going on all over the main floor in the auxiliary gyms. You walked to the north gym, auxiliary gym. You paid 50 cents and you walked in on a Saturday afternoon, and there were usually 200 to 300 people in the gym. That was my first experience to University of Iowa wrestling when I was a sophomore in high school. Fast forward to 1972. I'm the assistant sports editor of the Iowa City Press Citizen. Gary Kirtlemeyer has just been named the head coach to replace Dave McCuskey. He calls me over to his office. We're sitting in an office about the size of from Spencer to here and about this. Wow, it wasn't even that big. And that was Gary's office and his secretary, and the two of us are sitting there. He says, Mike, I'm going to transform Iowa wrestling. We're going to wrestle on the main floor of the field house on Saturday nights. We're going to have crowds of 3,000 to 4,000. And I'm thinking, wow, well, I'd sure like to see that happen. And I'm going to hire Dan Gable as my assistant. I broke out laughing. I said, the other things may be possible, but how are you going to get Dan Gable away from Iowa State? You know what happened. Dan came. The dynasty took off. But I would like everybody to know how humble it was. When I became sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette in 1976, I got to cover all the Iowa Hawkeye meets. I've been to 47 NCAA tournaments. And I saw the dynamic that Iowa wrestling became. The parties were legendary. The atmosphere, the excitement. And you guys got to understand, it wasn't always like this. It wasn't always like this. And Gable built something. He brought in wrestlers like the Bannocks and Randy Lewis and Barry Davis. And dare I say, those two guys from Sheldon, Tom and Terry Brands. And the crowds went crazy. And the media jumped on board. And it was so fun and so exciting to see Iowa build this very special program. that's talked about around the country, not just in Iowa and not just in wrestling circles. Tom Cruise knows about Iowa wrestling. People know about Iowa wrestling. So I decided in 1995 I wanted to create something special. I always admired the Heisman Trophy, the publicity it got, the marketing it got, how the media jumped on it. And I said, why can't wrestling have something like that? So I decided I was going to start my own trophy and what to call it. What to call it? Well, I'd become very good friends with Dan Hodge. In 1976, I wrote a book, Two Guys Named Dan, about Dan Hodge and Dan Gable. And Dan and I connected, and he became like my older brother. And we were so close. And Spencer, here's what Dan Hodge represents. Three-time NCAA champ. Never beaten in college, never taken down. Two-time OW at the NCAA tournament. At one point, he pinned 22 people in a row. That was the NCAA record until a guy named Gable came along and pinned 24 in a row. His junior year, Spencer, in 1956, he wins the NCAA with four straight pins. He wins the Freestyle Nationals 2 weeks later with five straight pins. He'd never entered a Greco tournament, but was right there at that same venue, so he enters that, and he wins that with four straight pins. So in 3 weeks' time, Dan Hodge wins three national titles with 13 consecutive pins. Later, he becomes the only wrestler ever to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated to this day. And he holds the distinction of being the only man in athletic history to win national titles in boxing and wrestling. He was 17-0 with 14 knockouts. Now, Spencer, I'm not advocating you into boxing when you're done with wrestling. But I want you to know the legacy of the Dan Hodge Trophy. Brian Van Clay of Wynn Magazine is my partner. Wynn Magazine and Culture House are the sponsors. The presenting company is TW Promotions out of New York and ASICS. They've been wonderful partners. Neil Duncan and Nick Gallo are just wonderful, wonderful people. They wish they could be here. They can't for obvious reasons. But we know a million people have seen the Hodge Trophy presented in person. That's at wrestling banquets and at football games in the fall. Only two other Hawkeyes have ever won it. There's a lot of them that could have, and maybe should have. Spencer, you're walking in hallowed footsteps. You're one of three Hawkeyes. You're one of three Hawkeyes in the greatest sports program I've ever seen in my 50 years of sports journalism, with two of my favorite people in the history of wrestling running the show, Tom and Terry Brands. And it is a great honor that we present the 2020 Dan Hodge Trophy to Spencer Lee. I would like to make one other comment. Dan Hodge passed away Christmas Eve at the age of 88. Spencer has the distinction of being the last Dan Hodge Trophy winner while Dan was still alive. And believe me, Dan Hodge knew who Spencer Lee was. And the last time I talked to him, I told her Spencer had won it. He said, what a great choice. Spencer Lee, Dan Hodge Trophy winner.
Everybody right here?
Yeah, not unlike the Dan Gable Presidential Medal of Freedom show, when I was able to lay down the audio of that presentation. This one, maybe not the best audio play, but I really enjoyed the stories that Mike Chapman shared, just kind of explaining the significance and, you know, just kind of the history behind the Hodge Trophy. And, you know, I thought you guys might enjoy that story. And the trophy itself, quite the marvel up close. That's the first time I had seen it in person. You know, just all bronze, and there's the wooden base, and this one in particular, it had Spencer's name on it. So that was really cool to see. I know he's super proud of this accomplishment, even if his thoughts may be said otherwise on Tuesday. But it's a really cool thing to be proud of, and I'm sure you guys heard it in Tom Brand's voice as well. He was beaming with pride that Spencer was finally able to be formally recognized for his efforts from last season, because we we all know he earned it, right? But yeah, that's today's show. Thanks a bunch for listening, you guys. You can catch future episodes of In the Room on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. So be sure to catch every episode on whichever one of those fills your podcast listening needs. Please don't forget, hook me up with those 5 stars and some kind words in the review section. I would greatly appreciate that gesture. You guys can also follow me on Twitter at Cody Goodwin or on Instagram at Cody J. Goodwin. Always love communicating with you guys. And be sure to also subscribe to the Des Moines Register to catch all my stories, mailbags, analysis, and videos. You can find a link to do all of that in the show notes. That's it for this episode of In the Room. Thanks again for listening, you guys. We will talk again soon.
How do you score points in the second and third period? I love it. I love it.